Friends, this is the Advent season. The word Advent means the coming of Christ. And traditionally, it has been a time of prayer and preparation to help us to savor the Savior's birth. We see Advent as a spiritual journey that helps us focus on the greatest gift of all, so that we can worship the Word made flesh. Yes. With all of our hearts and soul and mind and strength. And to do so, we use music and scripture readings and candles and sermons to help us reflect and rejoice. Yes. I'm going to share from the book of Isaiah today. But allow me to bring out a few points that will serve as an introduction to this book. The book of Isaiah was called the fifth gospel because it is filled with so much good news. While the book is brimming with joy and good news and glory, it also contains some gloom as well. This is summed up in Isaiah 60 verse 2. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. That talks about gloom. But the Lord raises upon you and his glory appears over you. And that's the good news. Amen. Yeah. Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus was born. In fact, it causes us to wonder and worship as we see how specifically these prophecies of Isaiah was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. This book contains the most beautiful language ever written and was quoted by Jesus extensively. Isaiah is called a major prophet for two reasons. First, his book is one of the longest. And second, his message is one of the strongest. Some have pointed out that the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah serve as a miniature Bible. Why? Because there are 66 books in the Bible. And the first 39 chapters correspond with the law of the Old Testament, and the last 24 chapters correspond with the love and liberty taught in the New Testament. While there are many themes in this wonderful book, three of them stand out. One is that God is in control. Number two is that the Messiah is coming. Yes. And number three, God always has a remnant of people who are committed to him. Yes. Amen. Amen. There's always a remnant of people who are sold out and faithful and committed to him. Amen. Isaiah's name means Jehovah saves. And he ministered for more than 50 years during the reign of four different kings. He was impacted by the time when the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed and the inhabitants were taken into captivity. Ministering now in the southern kingdom of Judah, part of his mission was to warn the people that the same thing could happen to them unless they repented. His opening words begin with a complaint in Isaiah 1 verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt. Another version says, a people laden with iniquity. It goes on to say, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. That's how the people were right at the beginning of the book. And yet, Isaiah continued to offer words of hope throughout the book. Isaiah is bold about his longing for something more. He's bold. He never swallows his word. He says it like it is. He dared to believe that something better is coming, even though his culture was corrupt and everything around him seemed so dark. We can summarize Isaiah's bold and fearless hope by looking at what he said to God in Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The Message paraphrase says, oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend. He is longing for the Lord to somehow come down to the world, make sense of all the nonsense, and to bring peace to all the problems and dispel the darkness and remove evil. He is hungry to have the Holy One enter this crazy world in an extraordinary manner. Friends, I want us to look briefly at four chapters, just touching on four chapters in the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at chapter 7, chapter 9, chapter 11, and chapter 53. And I'm hoping that by doing so, we'll get a bigger picture of what Christmas is all about according to Isaiah. Because one can never start too early when getting ready for something really big. The first thing is this, friends. Isaiah prophesied about a sure sign. A sure sign. When in chapter 7, the evil king named King Ahaz is on the throne. He deliberately disobeyed God, and as a result, his kingdom came under attack from all quarters. And listen what verse 2 says. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Instead of turning to the Lord, Ahaz starts to wheel and deal. He's negotiating. He's trying to come up with a scheme with the evil king of Assyria. He's trying to buddy up instead of turning to God. At this crucial time, God, in his love and mercy towards the house of David, took the initiative and sent Isaiah, go and check, see this fellow, to help King Ahaz to believe and to have faith. Isaiah points out in verse 9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. King Ahaz, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. In other words, if there is no belief, you will find no relief. And then in verse 10 to 12, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God. Come on, Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign. Whether in the deepest depths or in the highest height. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. You see how people are, friends? I will not ask. And that's how the world is so, where God is reaching out to people, they become harder and more stubborn. We read that he was supposed to ask for a sign that would help him, but he refused to ask for a sign. This gets Isaiah going. Isaiah can't believe it. In verse 13, then Isaiah said, yeah, now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? And then we come to the remarkable prophetic passage in verse 14. You don't want to ask. Listen. Therefore, verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The Lord himself will give you a sign. You may not want to ask, but the Lord will give you a sign. The sign will be not only for you, buddy, but for all of us. The word "you" there in the passage is a plural, indicating it's not just a sign for Ahaz, but to everyone, as the angel made clear to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Not you bunch of shepherds, you. And what is the sign? The sign will be a son born of a virgin. You say, "Man, that's a remarkable sign." You betcha. There is no ordinary, this is no ordinary pregnancy and no ordinary birth. The son will be God incarnate. The name Emmanuel means God with us. While this is not Jesus' proper name, no, this is a name that belonged to him as an attribute of God. You see that? Mary didn't say, "Now what must I call you, boy? Must I call you Jesus or Emmanuel?" No, no, no. Emmanuel is not my name. It's an attribute of God. And from the point of this miraculous birth onwards, God would himself be present among his people. This verse was quoted in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ahaz, I don't think he understood this. This wasn't fulfilled in his lifetime. It was a prophecy focusing on the future, given to all people so that God could be with all people for all time, to be a sure sign. Amen. A sure sign. Second thing that Isaiah prophesied, he prophesied about a sent son. Sure sign, sent son. This original birth announcement in Isaiah 7 verse 14 was made in the midst of grief and gloom, a time of war. Now we go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan." You see, Zebulun and Naphtali were two tribes in the northern part of Israel, close to the border that was where the enemy was. They made up the land we call Galilee. For many years, the people in this region knew only grief because of the onslaught of the enemy just across the border. And because they lived closest to the enemy, guess what? They were the first to be attacked. Isaiah tells of a time in the future where gloom will be replaced with gladness, where gloom in Galilee will be replaced with gladness in Galilee. Don't miss the fact, friends, listen, that Jesus's ministry was grounded in Galilee. Don't forget that. He was called in Matthew 21, 11, he was called the man of Galilee. Yeah. Also, someone said in John, it's not there, John 7, verse 45, somebody said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? So people are getting beat up all the time by the enemy. And our Lord came from there. Friends, Christmas joy is best. Christmas was and is birthed in the midst of great grief. While the angels were proclaiming peace on earth, Herod was preparing to annihilate all the infants. While Mary was worshipping, the mothers were weeping for their children. You go and read Jeremiah 31, 15 and Matthew 2, verse 18. It's the same verse where the women were crying out loud at the death of their children. Christmas joy is best understood, friends, with the hardship of life all around us. And some people are really struggling and grieving at this time. Psychologists say that Christmas is the saddest time of the year for many people. And so it was when Jesus was born. And that's okay, friends. If you are, that's exactly where Emmanuel will meet you. Amen. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, it describes the birth of Christ while bringing, that his birth will bring brightness in the dark world. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Talking about the time when Jesus will be born. In referring to himself, John 8 verse 12 says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. We go back to Isaiah 9 verse 4. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. It is said that the enemy would take these Israelite people and these the children of God and put heavy bars as they were became slaves to these people across their shoulders. A burden. Isaiah was prophesying that when the light of life comes, the heavy yoke on their shoulders will be shattered. Amen? Listen what Jesus says. It's not up there, but you'll remember. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the place of burdens, God will give us blessings. Look at Isaiah 9 verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The phrase to us means for us, for our benefit. For our benefit, a child is born. Amen. A son is given. And the emphasis is on the child. The baby was given for our benefit, friends. And this verse sets forth the indescribable uniqueness of Jesus. Notice that both his humanity and his deity is described. We see attributes of God and characteristics of man. It says, for to us a child is born. And this describes Jesus' birth as a baby. To us a son is given. And this describes Jesus as the Son of God, given to us as a gift. For God so loved us that he gave us his only begotten Son. The child was birthed in Jerusalem, and the gift of the eternal Son is given to us, and on top of that, the government will be upon his shoulders. This means that the expectations of the throne of King David is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The baby burdened in this the baby bundled in the straw holds the universe together. The one nestled on Mary's shoulders bears everything upon his shoulders. He is the ruler and the redeemer. Friends, Jesus is far more than a baby in a manger.
Yes, yes.
As we see in the fourfold title, he is profound. Wonderful Counselor. He is powerful. Mighty God. He is personal. Everlasting Father. He is peaceful. The Prince of Peace. Friends, it is amazing to me that Isaiah not only knew that Emmanuel will be born of a virgin as a sure sign, but he also understood that Emmanuel will be born as a sent son. Remember what Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1 verse 32? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Jesus is a sure sign and a sent son. Thirdly, Isaiah prophesied about the shoot from the stump. Sure sign, sent son, shoot from the stump. We look at Isaiah 11 verse 1 and 2. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Friends, in Isaiah's day, it felt hopeless because it seemed like the only thing left from the ravages of war were the stumps of the trees. The leftover after the tree is destroyed, there's a stump laying. It seemed like after the ravages of war, that was left. The northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed and things were looking bleak for the south, Judah. Do you ever feel that? Do you have the stumps in your life that diminish your hope? You know, I used to have a big oak tree of hope, and now it's just a stump. Man, my hope has been crushed. But wait, friends. A shoot will come up from the stump. Yes, a stump. A shoot will come up from the stump. Jesse is the father of King David, and it's through his line that the Savior will come to the world. Listen to the words in Luke chapter 2 verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Now that scripture is making sense. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus is described in Revelation 5 verse 5 as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Amen. Friends, this shoot will become a branch that will bear fruit from the root of David. Once again, Isaiah uses words wisely. Isaiah is not only able to catch a vision of the Savior as a shoot, he can see a time when peace will prevail, previewing the angel's proclamation to the shepherds. Remember what the angel said in Luke 2 verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth. He said, these angels said to these shepherds, yeah, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Friends, we know that during Jesus' second coming, during Jesus' second advent, Jesus will usher in a time of extended peace. Isaiah says, in this time of peace, Isaiah 11:6, the wolf will live with the lamb. Yes. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. Amen. When Jesus comes again, he will come as a conquering king and the prince of peace. So far, friends, listen. Isaiah gives a sure sign. He points to a sent son who ties the Messiah to David's throne as a shoot from the stump. And the last thing that we see in this from Isaiah, he prophesied about a suffering Savior. You say, wait now, Keith. A sure sign, a sent son, a root shoot from a stump, and now he gives us a suffering Savior. Remember, this is written 700 years before Jesus was born. Jesus came at Christmas so that by suffering and ultimately sacrificing himself as our substitute, we can be saved from our sins. Amen?
Yes.
This purpose is stated from the very beginning of the Nativity account, as Gabriel said to Joseph, Matthew 1 verse 21. Listen, Joseph, you see, she will give birth to a son. She will give birth to a son. And you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Amen. And as Isaiah already mentioned it, friends, we're going to see. There is an amazing amount of prophecies in Isaiah 53 that describe the substitutionary atonement of Christ on the cross. But I want to read at least three verses. Think about it with me. What Jesus brought for us on Good Friday. In Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, Isaiah prophesied about it. The suffering Savior. A man in China was converted to Christ. He told a story. He said, a man fell into a dark, slimy pit. He tried to climb out of the pit, but he couldn't. Confucius came along, saw the man and said, "Poor fellow, had he listened to me, he never would have gotten there." And he went on. Buddha came along and saw the man in the pit and said, "Poor fellow, if he'll come up here, I'll help him." And he kept on walking. Then Jesus Christ came along and said, "Poor fellow." And then he jumped down into the pit and lifted him out. Amen. The suffering Savior, friends. I have often wondered what Isaiah knew about Emmanuel. Ministering 7 centuries before Christmas, how could he be so specific? He prophesied about Jesus is the sure sign. Jesus is the sent son. Jesus is the shoot from the stump. Jesus is the suffering Savior. Isaiah wrote about the future, but his words seemed to indicate that he saw the Savior with his own eyes. Listen to his John 12 verse 41, what it says in the New Testament. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Isn't that something? I want to conclude now. I want you to stay in bed today. My throat is sore. Don't tell anybody, I'll deny it. That's just a joke now. Jesus came not only to be born in this world, but to be born in us, friends. Amen? Amen. To be born in us. No one... one can never start too early to get with getting ready with something that's really big. You are ready right now to receive the Christ of Christmas. Listen, he came as the Savior. Isaiah promises about Christ gives us hope. And when they are fulfilled in us, they bring peace. But like a gift, listen, like a present, Jesus must be received. Do you get that? Yes. Listen, friend. You've got to receive Jesus. I love the words in Isaiah 65, verse 1 and 2. God speaking. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, "Yeah, I am." Or, "Yeah, am I? Yeah, am I?" All day long, I held out my hands to an obstinate and rebellious people. I held out my arms like this. Who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imagination. Jesus has to be received. Friends, that is the Christ of Christmas that Isaiah is prophesying about. A woman was in the mall doing her Christmas shopping and was stressed out trying to find the perfect present for everyone on her list. Knowing that her credit cards were almost maxed out, she couldn't wait for Christmas to be over. And with her arms full of gifts, she tried to get into a crowded elevator. As she squeezed in with the other weary shoppers, she exclaimed, "Who came up with Christmas? Whoever did so ought to be strung up and killed." Several around her nodded their heads in agreement. Then someone in the back, in a small voice, said, "Don't worry, they already did that to him." Yes. Amen? Yeah. Yes, friend. Don't miss out. Don't miss the meaning behind Christmas this year. Let's remember that Jesus was born to die on the cross. to redeem us and to forgive us of our sins. Isaiah 64:9 summarizes our plight and our plea. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. And Isaiah 1 verse 18 gives us a promise. God saying, come on, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Now that's something big worth getting ready for. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, look at all these lovely people. Everyone loves you, Lord. And sometimes with all what the economy and what the culture have made of Christmas, about all the bells and whistles and all the lights and all the shopping, we sometimes get caught up in this and get all fed up and frustrated because we have lost sight of what Christmas is about. Lord, we're not saying you were born on December 25th, no. We are saying you were born, amen? Yes, Lord, you were born, and we thank you for that. You came, Lord, at Advent, the coming of our Lord. And we this time aside, we put this day aside to say, okay, we're going to worship you. We're going to glorify you. Thank you for Christmas, Lord. Thank you that you came to this earth. Thank you that 700 years prior you showed the prophet Isaiah very clearly. Thank you, Lord. Help us to serve you, Lord, with all our hearts. That while we receive Jesus as a gift from God, that our lives will reflect our gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And people around us will see that we have Jesus in our hearts and he have made a difference. Thank you, Lord. Amen.